The following program comes to you as part of the Africa Health Network, a service of the Voice of America to our audience throughout the African continent.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Lina Mudu, and welcome to Health Chat. Did you know that more than 200 different diseases are caused by unsafe food? So how safe is your food? That's my question to you on this World Health Day today, April 7th. New data released by the World Health Organization on the harm caused by foodborne illnesses underscores the global threats posed by unsafe foods. We will discuss foodborne illnesses and food safety on the program today. And joining me via phone from WHO's headquarters in Geneva, Switzerland, is Dr. Angelica Tricher, Coordinator of Risk Assessment and Management with the Department of Food Safety and Zoonosis with the World Health Organization. Dr. Tricher, welcome to the program.
Welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
It's good to have you with us. And also joining us via phone from Kampala, Uganda, is Dr. Gaston Tumuhimbise, Managing Director and CEO of FONUS, Food and Nutrition Solutions, Department of Food and Nutrition at Makerere University. Dr. Tumuhimbise, thank you so much for joining us.
You are most welcome.
It's great to have you join us from Uganda. Let me remind our listeners that if you'd like to join our discussion, you can email us your questions at healthchat@voanews.com or post them on facebook.com/voahealthchat. And we will start discussing food safety in a moment, but first, here's a report. On World Health Day, the World Health Organization is highlighting the importance of food safety under the slogan, "From Farm to Plate, Make Food Safe." Dr. Kazuaki Miyagishima, director of the Food Safety Department with the WHO, stresses food safety.
Food can be contaminated by virus, bacteria, parasites, and chemical agents, leading to more than 200 different diseases. Thus, food safety is a major public health issue.
Research conducted by the WHO's Foodborne Disease Burden Epidemiology Reference Group, FERG, shows some important results related to enteric or intestinal infections. They are caused by viruses, bacteria, and protozoa that enter the body by ingestion of contaminated food. The initial FERG figures from 2010 show there were an estimated 582 million cases of 22 different foodborne enteric diseases and 351,000 associated deaths. And over 40% of people suffering from enteric diseases caused by contaminated food were children under the age of 5.
The World Health Organization, WHO, connects different sectors and works with FAO, Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, to operate a rapid alert system to share information in a timely manner so that we can make food recall and investigation.
Unsafe foods include undercooked foods or animal origin and fruits and vegetables contaminated with fishes. Dr. Miyagishima says addressing the problem requires the need for coordinated cross-border action across the entire food supply chain.
Multisectoral collaboration is a key in the time of globalization, where food travels thousands of kilometers from the point of production to the point of consumption. Different sectors such as agriculture, fishery, industry, tourism, trade need to join forces to ensure food safety.
The full results of this research are expected to be released in October. Again, thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Gaston and Dr. Tricher, on Health Chat today. Let me start with you, Dr. Tricher. As we heard and I mentioned earlier, more than 200 different diseases are caused by unsafe food. This is a very serious problem, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed, it is a serious problem. And unfortunately, it's not gotten the attention that it needs. This is why the World Health Organization has decided to dedicate this year's World Health Day to the theme of food safety, to be able to raise more awareness to this issue, which, as my director said, is a major public health problem.
And Dr. Gaston, could you please allow me to call you Dr. Gaston just for the sake of the show? Would that be okay?
No problem.
Thank you so much. So let me ask you this. As an African myself, I know that we go to the market, we buy our food, we have different ways of handling food. Can you give us a sense of how much of a problem food safety is in the African context?
Thank you for this show. That is very relevant to our time. Mm-hmm. Now, the food safety is a big problem in Africa, and particularly here in Uganda. There are so many foodborne diseases that are coming up. Uh-huh. Even right here in my own country, here in Uganda, in the capital Kampala, in the last 1 month, there has been an outbreak of typhoid. And this typhoid fever is typically a disease that is foodborne.
Okay.
So it's a big problem. We have a problem of food handling, and basic hygiene is not something that is well ingrained in the practices of majority of the people. So the awareness is still very low. So in a way, it's still a big problem.
Okay. Now, Dr. Tricher,
yes.
Dr. Gaston mentioned typhoid and other type of diseases. Now, what would you say is the fundamentally is the issue here when it comes to food safety? Is it the way the food is being handled, or the way it's being kept, or what is the main issue, or some of the issues, really?
The colleague from Africa already mentioned, he mentioned one key word, that's food hygiene, food handling and food hygiene.
Uh-huh.
So what is really important to understand is that everybody in the food chain has a role to play. If it's the person in the market, in the food market, handling the food, it has to be under hygienic circumstances. It is a matter of understanding the importance of that. Hand hygiene, you know, hand washing, proper storage, and also in the household, the consumer has a responsibility and an important role to play in the household about hygienic circumstances. Again, hand hygiene, hand washing, but also the way food is kept and stored in the household is critically important to prevent foodborne illnesses. So the problem is not to be pinpointed at one step. It's really all along the production chain. Also, the farmer in the field has a responsibility to be careful, to keep animals, for example, or human feces. Of course, it has to be kept separate from produce, where produce is grown. And those are, it's an educational progress and process. And WHO is also working on this aspect to really develop health promotion and educational material for people involved in the, not just from a big production chain, but also from small farmers and smaller production chains, and healthy food markets initiatives to foster the understanding that everybody has a role to play to assure that the food is safe.
Okay, let me remind our listeners that the phone number is 202-619-3111 if you'd like to join the conversation and ask questions to our experts, or you can always email your thoughts or questions at healthchat@voanews.com. Now, Dr. Gaston, you talked about some of the diseases that has been emerging from unsafe food. What do you say in terms of the way people even are addressing this issue? Are people even aware that there is a serious problem there when it comes to food safety, food hygiene? What is the culture around this problem?
Generally, the culture, it's not generally seen as a very, very big problem. And indeed, other than some outbreaks, in most cases, it hasn't been, it's not taken obviously to be from food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here in our country and most of parts of Africa, actually not so many people keep food. So fresh food is collected from the field
mm-hmm.
and is prepared. And along the way, maybe some little food could be kept for children and all that. So food is not kept for a long time. But when the problems occur, even in that short period of when food is being handled, then you get outbreaks, and that's when they get alarmed, like when you have outbreaks like cholera, like typhoid, and all that. And after a little while, you find that people don't mind that. People who normally usually suffer are like children, especially below 5 years, because of diarrhea and other related illnesses. But in most cases, like the old people, you find that they are managing their own way and it's not a big problem. So because of that, you find that not a lot of sensitization happens at household level unless there is like a major outbreak, and that becomes a big problem. Like there is no constant information. It only comes up when there is like an outbreak, there is general sensitization, and then it ends there. But as being part of culture, hygiene is a big problem, especially in the countryside. And even in urban areas, in some of the slums and all that, you find you have people who are not well sensitized, and sometimes access to water is a problem, and the water itself is contaminated. So it becomes a big problem, yeah.
Okay. Now, you have made many important points here. And Dr. Tricia, when we heard what Dr. Gaston talked about, he talked about the fact that often people do not keep food around. And from my experience as a woman from Africa, I know that we cook our food for, some of our food is cooked a long time. If we're thinking about fresh food and food that is cooked for a long time, then how do we make sense of the fact that developing countries in sub-Saharan Africa, can be victims of this problem? I understand the hygiene, the problem of hygiene, the problem of food handling, but can you just put this into perspective for us?
Yeah, it's a bit difficult. You already pointed to the fact of some food is cooked very long time in order to be safe and to kill harmful bacteria, and then you have also uncooked food produce, vegetables on the side, and there you need to be very careful in the household how you handle, how you store, to not cross contaminate. Dr. Gaston also mentioned the keeping then food for a long time around in the household. This can all also lead to cross contamination. You recontaminate the food or contaminate crosswise from one food to the other, even if it's already cooked for a long time and was from a microbiological perspective safe. Then if it's handled again, then it can be recontaminated. And what was mentioned, cholera and typhoid are very, of course, very important problems. And they are transmitted through through contaminated water and food that infects people. And so it's also from the water perspective, washing. If you prepare food, you wash your vegetable salad or other produce using safe water and safe raw material as a starting point and keeping it at appropriate temperatures, separating the raw and the cooked food, some very basic hygiene. Also personal hygiene plays an important role in avoiding recontamination and cross-contamination.
Okay.
I hope this addresses the point you are trying to get across here.
Sure. Okay, we have a question from George in Ghana, and actually this is an interesting one because he talks about a restaurant and food safety. He says, I suffered from food poisoning 2 years ago after eating at a restaurant. How do we make sure that food in the restaurant is safe? Is there a way to ensure that the food in the restaurant is safe? And I don't know who would like to answer. Dr. Gaston, would you like to to comment on this question?
Yes, thank you. Food poisoning is a big problem in restaurants, even actually most in many countries. And it all has to do with the training of food handlers. Uh-huh. And having the appropriate technology to handle this food. Sometimes you find that food is used over and over and over, and then especially here in Southern Africa, you find that power, electricity is on and off. Like food is kept in a fridge, mm-hmm. and then the power is off, and then these people may not know that this power is off maybe for some hours, 2-3 hours. The microorganisms might be growing. And then this food is served to the next guests. You get a problem of food poisoning. You could have some bacteria already growing. Mm-hmm. So it's a big problem. The technologies, you find that some restaurants don't have appropriate technologies of keeping food at appropriate temperatures.
Okay.
And, of course, as my colleague had already said, even this issue we have been talking about of food handling and hygiene, uh-huh. you could have workers that are not observing the basic guidelines of hygiene, and there is cross-contamination, sometimes handling food with bare hands, and you contaminate this food, and when the heat treatment is not appropriate, you get that problem of food poisoning.
Okay.
So to begin with, food storage has to be proper, and we have to make sure at the restaurants, the workers are sensitized. If you know you have been keeping certain food, especially these of animal origin, food of animal origin, you know power has been off, then you don't have to serve that food if you are not able to treat them appropriately.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you so much for answering this. And we are going to take a very short break, and we have more questions coming in. When we come back, we promise that our experts will answer your questions. So don't go away. We take a short break, and when we return, we will continue to discuss food safety with our expert, Dr. Gaston Tumuhimbise, with the Makerere University in Uganda, and Dr. Angelica Treasure from the World Health Organization. And you are listening to Health Chat. We'll be right back.
Next on Let's Talk, join host Sandy Shimari and his guests discussing why this lighthearted show covers topics of your interest with some hilarity. Let's Talk comes to you Mondays at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Welcome back to Health Chat. I'm Lenore Moudou. If you are joining us, we are discussing food safety with Dr. Angelica Treasure with the World Health Organization and Dr. Gaston Tumuhimbise with FONUS in Kampala, Uganda. Now, before the show, we talked about some of the safe ways to handle food so that they don't cause any problems. Now, let's talk about, actually, I wanted to ask you this one question from our listener, Fatu, in Sierra Leone. She wants to know, what are some of the most common bacteria or diseases that cause food illnesses? And perhaps we can look at the industrialized countries. Dr. Treasure, could you comment on that? I know Dr. Gaston mentioned some of the issues in Uganda, which could be a big picture for sub-Saharan Africa. But we hear a lot about food poisoning. Living in the United States, something that I hear is often. And we hear about E. coli, Salmonella. So can you please comment on this?
Yeah, you already mentioned probably the most important pathogen that cause food poisoning, as we already know it, Salmonella, E. coli, but then you have others that are called Campylobacter. Also, Listeria is some pathogens that in raw milk, they can be in raw milk or milk products like cheese that's not completely pasteurized. And these can really have severe consequences. But and then some viruses, norovirus is through water very often. And those are the real classical symptoms, just what the question that was asked earlier about going to a restaurant and getting sick. This is very often caused to Salmonella and E. coli or Campylobacter bacteria. These are probably the most broadly occurring foodborne pathogens. Then Vibrio cholera was already mentioned by my colleague as an important also food safety problem, where also through contaminated water and food, people can get very sick.
And looking at, when we look at complications, I know we mentioned death, but there are other complications that can occur as well. For example, with pregnant women, with babies, can you give us a sense of some of those?
The minor symptoms, as we already said, when it starts out, it stomach cramps, diarrhea, vomiting, but it can even go up to causing meningitis. Or can even have cardiovascular effects and effects that you would normally not easily bring in contact with foodborne pathogens. Listeria is very dangerous for pregnant women because it can cause the death of unborn babies, which, of course, is very terrible. And therefore, these are very important food safety issues that need to be taken serious, and education, people being aware of this, is an important step. So during pregnancy, being careful to not eat undercooked things, not raw, unpasteurized milk products. Those are steps that consumers can take, precautions that consumers can take.
Okay, and looking at, speaking of solutions and addressing this issue, Dr. Gaston, how is Fonus really tackling this problem? Dr. Gaston?
Pardon? Beg your pardon?
How is FONUS, the Food and Nutrition Solution, tackling this problem of food safety?
Oh, thank you. Maybe I need to tell you about Food and Nutrition Solution. It is a consultancy group which is university-based here at Makerere University, Department of Food Technology and Nutrition. So we do outreach. We work with other organizations, government and non-government organizations, to do sensitization, and we write articles in newspapers, in magazines, to educate the general public on the issues of food safety. And we also engage in research. Our members have done a lot of research to do with the street vended foods and how they affect people in terms of food safety. Maybe there is even another emerging area we have not talked about in concerning food safety, the issue of mycotoxin. Mm-hmm. It is also a topic we are dealing with a lot because of poor handling again of some grains like peanuts, like maize, what you call corn in America. We find they are contaminated with mycotoxins, and they have also been found to cause a lot of problems here. They are associated with some cancers, and recently it's been found that in fact they suppress growth in children. So we are also dealing with that problem of both.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this, Dr. Tricia, what are some of the regulations that the World Health Organization has. When we look at the restaurant setting, they have, there is what you call, quote unquote, the food police that will visit a restaurant and make sure that they have they are abiding by the standards. What are some of these standards that a restaurant, for example, has to have to ensure that the food that they are serving is safe?
If I may say first that WHO is actually not the police. What we don't have regulatory authority over the countries. It's the responsibility of the national authorities to be the police, to go into restaurants and check. What WHO does is we provide recommendations and guidelines for a code of hygienic practices, for example, and recommendations for food handlers with respect to infectious diseases and so forth. So these are recommendations that are developed based on scientific basis, on scientific findings. And then these recommendations, they have to be put into national laws, and the national authorities control and inspect them that the fridges have the right temperature, that the kitchen is clean, you know, that the proper storage containers are there, and that this hygiene, the code of hygienic practice and so forth is being adhered to. But again, WHO provides the basis, the framework, the guidances that then have to be taken up by national authorities and put into practice and put into place.
Okay, so then once you establish these guidance and this framework, it is the responsibility of the country. WHO doesn't have any type of enforcing capabilities or perhaps any authority, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, that's exactly it. We don't have the authority. That's really the national authority. Okay. We give the recommendation and the framework. Again, we assist national authorities, also the governments. We assist them to set up functioning national food safety system and legal frameworks by providing the information, what is needed as an infrastructure for sampling plants, how often do you have to go in and look, what would make most sense. So giving this basic framework and giving assistance then at a national level to strengthen national system, looking where are the weak spots, where this legislation, for example, need to be strengthened. So this is then direct. So we work at an international level, if you want, where we provide this general guidance and recommendations.
Okay.
That are based on sound science, and then we work on the national level with national authorities, assisting them in putting this into practice. Putting this into national law and setting up strong national food safety systems.
Okay, and Dr. Gaston, Dr. Tricia mentioned that WHO provides framework and guidance in Uganda. Could you comment on how it's being implemented and enforced in your country? Food safety, quickly.
Yes, this is a function of the Ministry of Health.
Okay.
The Ministry of Health consults with the rest of the organizations involved in the food safety, and they have the mandate, the Ministry of Health has the mandate to enforce food safety guidance received from WHO. They are the ones who enforce them in the country.
Okay. Quickly, Dr. Tricia, what would be the takeaway on this World Health Day from the farm to the plate, food safety? Quickly, what would you say?
That everybody has a role to play and everybody has to take their responsibility, and that the sectors have to work together. Agriculture, health, veterinary health has to work together to make food safe.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us, both Dr. Gaston and Dr. Tricia. I appreciate your time. And this was our show for today. We thank you for joining us. If you want more on the topic and other topics, join us on facebook.com/VOA Health Chat. I'm your host, Lenore Mudu, in Washington, with producer Jackson Vunganyi. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.